Piper adds a new executive. The Pentagon says if EADS wants to bid, it will extend the KCX deadline. And GE commits to a new research center for electric power plants. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, April 2nd, 2010. We were going to tell you this news yesterday, but didn't want it to get confused with our unique April 1st content. This is true. Piper Aircraft has named Randy Groom Executive VP, reporting to President and CEO Kevin J. Gould. Gould says that Piper selected the 56-year-old industry veteran after an extensive search to find just the right fit to continue building and expanding Piper's market share across all model lines and to take Piper's customer experience to new levels of performance. Quote, Randy knows the business from both sides of the aisle. As a seasoned corporate executive and a professional with extensive dealership experience, he has the breadth of knowledge and experience that are vital to Piper's growth strategy. Perhaps most important, we want our customers to know that Randy's addition to the team is further evidence of our commitment to providing them industry-leading customer support, unquote. Groom commented, quote, One of the main reasons I was attracted to Piper is because I love their products and really believe they are the right aircraft for these times. No other general aviation manufacturer has such a comprehensive lineup of single-engine aircraft in every class, ranging from a great-looking LSA Piper Sport clear up to the very cool and affordable Meridian turboprop. And I can't wait to get involved with Piper Jet, which will provide our customers with truly breakthrough performance, comfort, and efficiency, unquote. Groom's resume includes time as president of global customer service and support and president of Beechcraft and senior sales and executive positions at the dealer level. He earned a BS and MBA in marketing at Oklahoma State, was a flight instructor at the U.S. Air Force by age 19, and is an instrument-rated commercial pilot who's logged 40 years and 10,000 hours without an accident, all of which helped groom him for his new role at Piper. Okay, I'll stop. ANN congratulates Randy on the new gig. The U.S. Department of Defense has informed companies interested in bidding on the KCX aerial refueling tanker that if EADS formally expresses an intention to compete, the bidding deadline will be extended by 60 days. Pentagon Press Secretary Jeff Morrell said Wednesday, quote, We are committed to a fair, open, and transparent competition in order to get the best airplane to our warfighters at the best value to the taxpayers, unquote. For now, the original RFP has a deadline of May 10th. If it's extended, that would move to July 9th. Morrell also addressed the long delays already plaguing the project. Quote, Given that this plane is long overdue, and we do not want its delivery date to slip later than it already has, we are prepared to compress our bid evaluation period to stay as close to the original award schedule as possible, so as to still award the contract early this fall, unquote. EADS has acknowledged the Air Force statement, but says it would require at least 90 days to prepare a bid. Apparently, the science of electric power for aircraft is moving out of its garage phase. GE Aviation says it plans to create EPIS Center, an acronym for Electrical Power Integrated Systems Research and Development Center, near Dayton, Ohio. The center will be directed at several markets, including more electric aircraft, on- and off-highway hybrid and electric vehicles, and marine applications. Vic Bono, president of electric power for GV Aviation Systems, promises the facility, quote, will focus on advanced energy management involving electric power systems research and development. Electrification and transportation is a growth area, unquote. The company says work will start on military and commercial applications first. Dayton, Ohio appears to have been chosen for more than just its aviation roots. The state is providing a $7.6 million grant through the Ohio Third Frontier Commission. GE hopes to wrap up a site survey and pick a location by the end of this year and have EPIS Center up and running in 2012. Up next on ANN, NavWorks is ready to sell you ADS-B. Fraska puts another Level 7 helicopter simulator into service. And the Navy will demonstrate the Green Hornet on Earth Day. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. NavWorks says it's developing ADS-B transmitter capability to be offered as an upgrade option for current ADS-600 owners and integrated into the ADS-600B transmit and receive unit. The company announced Wednesday that FCC approval of the transmitter is expected shortly. Current ADS-600 units function as receive-only devices, but can be upgraded for two-way communication. That upgrade, called ADS-B Out, will be the subject of the first equipage deadline for NextGen, proposed for 2015 in the Senate version of FAA reauthorization. NavWorks says customers who purchased the remote mount ADS-600 or portable PADS-600 can upgrade with the transmitter for $600 U.S. through April 18th. The price afterward will be $1,000. The full transceiver, the ADS-600B, will be priced at $2,945. Other limited-time specials and additional details are available at NavWorks.com. Frasca International says it has received FAA Level 7 qualification on its Bell 206B flight training device installed at Flight Safety International in Lafayette, Louisiana. This is the highest level of qualification for FTDs, and Frasca says the only other one that's qualified is its own AS-350, which received approval in August of 2009 and is in use at FSI's facility in Tucson. The FTD is fixed base with a vibration platform which provides tactile cues and is integrated to Flight Safety's Vital X visual system using Frasca's spherical display screens to provide a 200 by 70 degree field of view. A third FTD for the Bell 407 is nearing completion by Frasca for Flight Safety and will also undergo FAA Level 7 qualification. It'll be installed at the Lafayette facility next month. The U.S. Coast Guard's HC-144A Ocean Sentry is a high-wing, twin-engine, multi-mission airplane built by EADS. Its deployment has expanded to the world's busiest air-sea rescue unit, Air Station Miami, Florida, which received its first Ocean Sentry in March and is scheduled to get another one this month and a third in July. Miami's first Ocean Sentry initially went operational at Coast Guard Aviation Training Center, Mobile, Alabama, in February of 2009. But a month before it formally entered service there, the plane was called out for its first Coast Guard search and rescue operation, playing a key role in locating a downed U.S. Air Force F-15 pilot from the Gulf of Mexico. The Coast Guard has received 8 of the 11 Ocean Sentries on order and plans to expand the fleet to 36 of the aircraft over time. Support is handled by Airbus Military North America in Mobile. The Navy will demonstrate the Green Hornet, an F-A-18 Super Hornet, powered by a 50-50 biofuel blend, on Earth Day, April 22nd, at Naval Air Station Patuxent River, Maryland. It sounds a little like a political dog and pony show, but proponents say biofuel blends will increase warfighting capability by reducing reliance on fossil fuels from unstable locations and reducing volatility associated with long fuel supply transport lines. Secretary of the Navy Ray Mabus hopes that by 2016, the Navy will sail a great green fleet composed of nuclear ships, surface combatants with hybrid electric power systems using biofuel, and aircraft flying on only biofuels. By 2020, the Navy hopes to meet at least half of both its shore-based and service-wide energy requirements using alternative sources. The biofuel half of the mix in the tanks of the Green Hornet is processed from camelina. The Super Hornet is Naval Aviation's largest fuel consumer. Still ahead, NTSB will open a probable cause hearing to the public. The RAF trains in Nevada before deployment in Afghanistan. And the father of GPS is now a Hall of Famer. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Mm-hmm.
back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, April 2nd. I'm Paul Platt. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board will hold a public meeting on its investigation into the crash of a chartered business jet during an aborted takeoff in Columbia, South Carolina, 18 months ago. The purpose will be to determine probable cause and to consider proposed safety recommendations to reduce the likelihood of similar accidents in the future. In September of 2008, a Bombardier Learjet 60 overran runway 11 during a takeoff aborted for what was thought to be a flat tire at Columbia Metropolitan Airport. The captain, first officer, and two passengers were killed. Two other passengers, disc jockey Adam Goldstein and former Blink-182 drummer Travis Barker, were seriously injured. A summary of the board's final report, which will include its findings, probable cause, and safety recommendations, will appear on the NTSB website shortly after the conclusion of the meeting. The meeting will be held at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time in the NTSB Boardroom and Conference Center in Washington, D.C. Airmen from the RAF's 13 Squadron are taking part in Exercise Green Flag in the U.S. as part of their preparations for operations in Afghanistan later this year. The Tornado unit is normally based at RAF Marham in Norfolk and is currently flying out of Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada. The desert ranges provide conditions similar to those faced by British forces operating in Helmand Province, and the involvement of the U.S. Air Force provides the experience of working in a multinational environment. Wing Commander Howard Edwards, the officer commanding 13 Squadron, is a veteran combat pilot who completed more than 100 operational sorties in Iraq. Quote, "We are here to do world-class close air support training with our U.S. cousins. In the Afghanistan context, close air support is vital for U.K. troops and the coalition troops on the ground. In Afghanistan, the flying conditions are not ideal. Certainly at night, it can be much like here, which is why, again, it is good training." Unquote. Conditions not ideal? Compared to England? What's he talking about? Or is he just not accustomed to VFR during the month of April? And finally today, we now take GPS for granted, but the technology which enabled the creation of the system started with Roger L. Easton. He's now been recognized by the National Inventors Hall of Fame for his pioneering achievements in spacecraft tracking and timing and navigation technology. At an award ceremony hosted by Undersecretary of Commerce for Intellectual Property and Director of the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, David Kapos, Wednesday at the Department of Commerce in Washington, D.C., Easton received the National Inventor Hall of Fame Medal of Honor for Timation, U.S. patent number 3,789,409, the critical system enabling modern GPS. Easton began his career in 1943 as a research physicist and was part of the team that developed the first U.S. satellites. When he retired from lab work, he became active in politics, serving two terms in the New Hampshire State Senate and making an unsuccessful bid for governor in 1986. In 2005, Easton was awarded the National Medal of Technology by President George W. Bush. Not counting this year's class, there have been 405 inventors inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame since its formation in 1973. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Kate Hannay of Flyers Rights tells us just how close we are to an airline passenger's Bill of Rights. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.